Good evening and welcome to the April 2019 meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Health Commission. Our first agenda item tonight will be to approve the minutes of our last meeting, which was March 11th. Anybody have any comments, corrections, additions? If not, we'll ask Teresa to publish them on our website, as she usually does. This is the time in our agenda when we will accept public comment. If there are persons in the audience desiring to speak on any issue other than what's scheduled on our agenda for this evening, and they need to be within the scope of and interest of the Health Commission, I'd invite them to come forward and do public comment. Seeing none, we will launch right into our program for this evening. So tonight we're going to talk about transportation, which is definitely a social determinant of health. I got this quote from, I was going through some news articles that had come across my desk. This one is from the American Hospital Association, actually. Each year, 3.6 million people in the United States do not obtain medical care due to transportation issues. Transportation issues include lack of vehicle access, inadequate infrastructure, long distances, and lengthy times to reach needed services, transportation costs, and adverse policies that affect travel. Transportation challenges affect both rural and urban communities alike. Because transportation touches many aspects of a person's life, adequate and reliable transportation services are fundamental to our healthy communities. Transportation issues can affect a person's care appointments, increased health expenditures, and overall poor health outcomes. Transportation also can be a vehicle for wellness. Developing affordable and appropriate transportation options, walkable communities, bike lanes, bike share programs, and other transit options can help boost our health. So with that, we are going to address transportation issues this evening, and I'm going to ask Commissioner Raymond to introduce our first speaker.
I want to thank the different speakers that came. We have a good cross-section of the transportation options here in our county, and I want to thank you for being willing to participate. And we're going to be starting with the travel trainer from SLOCOG, and that's Peter Katinas.
Is that better? Okay. I thought it was already on. As introduced, I am the travel trainer. Now, the basic description of this job is I like to think of myself as an informational kiosk. I take calls from everybody, specifically about transport in the county. I've gotten calls from people who are on a bike trip and they want to know about a different route. Or how do I get from Atascadero to Cuesta? Or I'm over 65, I can't drive anymore. How do I get to my doctor's? You know, how do I get to the grocery store? So it's an all-purpose thing funded by the SLOCOG organization. Now, specifically, since we're looking at the health issues, I'm gonna mainly focus on the Senior Go shuttle, which is part of the Know How to Go. Now, I did give Teresa the booklets here. So there's basically some good information on all the different types of transport. If you go to like page 8, 9, 10, it gives you a breakdown of all the different ones in the area. And I also like to point out, just in case somebody asks, if on page 4, is the telephone number for the travel trainer number. So if you know anybody who needs information, you can direct them to that. But the Senior Go Shuttle is basically a program that's, again, funded partially through the SLOCOG system. We are a shuttle service specifically for members of the community who are 65 and older. We work Monday through Friday. It is, first pickup is at 9 a.m. The last pickup is at 4:30 to get people home. Now, what we do is We will pick them up and take them to doctor's appointments and get them home again, or take them to social events, or just shopping. We have some. We have one gentleman who goes to the Trader Joe's every Tuesday, and all he needs is the ride home because he can't carry the walk home with the groceries. So that's a regular thing we do. We have a young woman up in Paso Robles who goes to the senior center every Friday. She has an outstanding, if you will, reservation with us. Every Friday morning, we pick her up. We take her to the senior center every Friday afternoon. Pick her up. We take her home. So she gets seen. And then we also have a gentleman who lives in San Luis Obispo who is suffering from Alzheimer's. His wife is his caregiver. Every Friday, we pick him up, and we take him from San Luis Obispo up to Paso Robles because there is a Alzheimer's care center there. So this way, his wife has a day off, if you will, so she can do all the things she needs to do. Her husband is well cared for at the center. He gets help. He gets activity. And we do that every Friday. So these are just some ideas of what the shuttle can do. We are not specifically for medical, but the overall health, if you will. Like I said, some people couldn't get to the store easily at all without the shuttle. They couldn't get the groceries home like the gentleman I mentioned who goes to Trader Joe's. So it's not so much just the health care, but as is just the general health. And also, I think, like I said, the social aspect of it as well. Now, the Slow Cog has been doing a advertising events with me called Tease. We just had our second one here in San Luis Obispo at the Senior Center. We had about 14, 15 people, and I basically gave a little presentation like I'm doing here, but instead of just focusing on the shuttles, I also talked about buses and other ways of transportations within the city. Again, this was the kind of thing where we're hoping not only to get the word out about what's available, but they'll be talking about it with their friends, and hopefully they'll pass on the information, like the phone number, and we'll get more people calling in, wondering, you know, about the services. How can I use them? I've noticed since we started these, there has been like a take up of the phone calls. A lot of them just asking for information, but eventually. Now, also, through one of these events, I got in communication with someone, unfortunately, I can't remember her name, at the Bayside Care Center in Morro Bay. They do have a bus that they take their patients around, they take them, but it's not always available for everybody, so they asked me to come by. I brought them some information, and ever since then, we've been helping them get their clients from their center to where they need to be with the doctors and back again. It's helping everybody help each other, I'd like to think. That is basically particular question. Yes.
How does 511 work? Are you the person they call, or is there somebody else that receives those calls?
511 is one of those automated trees. Eventually, you will get to me. But if you just need information that you don't necessarily need to talk to me, then that will get like a recording or something like that. But eventually, if you want to talk to a person, 511 will take you to me. The phone number for the travel trainer is more direct. And I'm taking calls from, I'm sorry, but I'm taking, I, we take calls there from 8 to 5.
And do people, they need to make an appointment if they want to use the transportation? Let's say they have to go to a doctor's office.
Yes.
For an appointment.
They do have to make an appointment. I've recently been telling people to try to give us 2 or 3 days notice, because with Slow Cog advertising, I don't know if you've seen them or not, like in the weekly papers, they've had advertisement about the shuttle services. So again, we've had an uptake in calls, and it's gotten busier. We only have so many drivers, so many vehicles. So they do have to make an appointment. If it's something like a doctor's appointment, I always make sure to tell people, if the doctor gives you an appointment, it's 2 weeks away, don't wait. you can call us that day, and we will set that appointment up 2 weeks in advance. So
when they go to the doctor, mm-hmm. so you drop them off, and God knows how long they might have to wait before they're finished, is somebody there to pick them up and bring them back, or do they have to call again when they're...
No, we ask them for an estimate. Okay. We usually ask them to give us a little more time than they think they're going to be there. If they get out early, they can call us, and we, depending on the day, because again, only so many vehicles, we sometimes can pick them up early and get them home earlier. Sometimes they do have to wait because it's a busy day. But by the same token, we've had people who their doctors have called them and said, you know what, can you come in later in the day? And then I will work with my my coworker who actually sets up the rides. And if we can accommodate, we always try to. And sometimes it means we do call some of the other riders and going, can we move you 15 minutes earlier or 15 minutes later? And again, these are usually people going to social events or shopping, so it's not critical to try to accommodate people. And usually when they know it's for to get to a doctor, they're very accommodating.
So what about the patient that you pick up at the doctor's office and then he or she says, oh, by the way, can we stop by the grocery store?
That, unfortunately, we can't do.
Okay.
They can. I have one particular lady. She does set up a couple different runs on the same day. She'll go from, like, a hairdresser to her doctor's, from the doctor's to the Walmart, and then from Walmart home. Each one of those is a different run, so, of course, she has to pay accordingly. But that's not a problem. We can do that for her. Now, one thing I forgot to mention is that the Council of Governments has given us a limitation of 4 round trips a month for these people. I like to think of it as once a week. So they have to be aware of that when they make their plans. Sometimes we can, you know, fudge that a little bit, but like do 4.5 or something. But we're kind of set in that until... Maybe if the program becomes more accepted and larger, we can extend that out. That's up to Solcog, not us.
And what's the cost to the person that uses it?
That would depend on the distance. It is being supplemented. For example, if it's 5 miles or under, it's $2.50 one way. If it's over 5 miles to 10 miles, then it's $4 one way. If it's 4.1 to... if it's 10.1 to 20 miles, it's $5, and 20.1 beyond that is $10. So literally someone go from San Simeon to San Luis Obispo or the five cities, it'll only cost them $10 each way.
And you tell them when they call to make their appointment or whatever you go?
Oh, yes. We give them the rates at the time so that they're aware. Now, because, and one of the reasons we do that is we are not set up for credit cards or debit cards. So we do ask that they, they can write us a check. That's perfectly fine. Or that they have the cash available. With the older population, they don't have a problem with cash. I mean, I'm kind of strapped for cash. I have to go get it from the bank because I just don't carry it anymore. But they're used to carrying cash, so it's not a large burden on them. But we do go over the breakdown of the cost when they make the reservation, and we remind them it's one way, so if they're doing a round trip, we double it for them. They can pay all at once. They can pay each driver. A lot of times they ask, can they tip the driver, things like that, and that's up to them. We don't have a rule against tipping for the senior co-drivers.
So your drivers are Slocog employees? Or
no, they're actually the Slocog people have contracted through a company called Ventura Transit, who also does the SunCal. Mm-hmm. They're here over here for that. And I am an employee of that company, but I work under the auspices of the contract with Slocog. So that's they're employees of that company. But again, when they're driving the senior go calls, they are also under the auspice of the contract. So they follow the same rules. That's just, it seems to be working out okay.
Good. Any other questions from commissioners? Commissioner Schiff.
Hi. You actually asked some of my questions regarding the drivers, and thank you for that. Ideally, how many vehicles would you like to have?
In an ideal world, a couple hundred would be nice.
For the needs for this for community?
It's for the community at large. It's like if we could get, I'm trying to think, we only have, how many we have, and the scrambling sometimes on a busy day. It's like if we could increase what we have by 2 or 3%, times. The main issue with that is not so much the vehicles as it is the drivers. It's hard to get someone who can meet the requirements of the, driving, the their driving record. I'm sorry. DMV has to be good and everything. And finding someone who matches that requirement. And also, since they're Ventura Transit employees, they also have to pass a health screening and a few other things, because they're going to be doing more than, if it's in an ideal world, it would be nice to have a subset of Ventura that's just the senior GO. But to be perfectly honest, right now, there's not enough senior GO traveled for that.
Thank you.
Payment is a flat rate,
right?
Not income based.
Correct.
In any way.
Correct.
Anybody?
The only requirement we have is that the person be over 65 years of age.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else?
Okay. Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome.
I want to introduce Sarah, who's in the audience also from SLOCOG, Sarah Woolsey. Sarah helped us find Peter to come and be with us this evening. So
she snuck in on me. I didn't.
She did, but I saw her.
Thank you.
All right. If you want to stay, there may be some other questions. Peter, okay. Go ahead.
Our next speaker is Andrew Jackson. He works at AMDAL In-Home Care and Transportation, and he works with a different population, and we welcome him.
How's that? Awesome. Thank you. Good evening. Andrew Jackson, AMDAL Transport Services. AMDAL's story actually starts back in 1999 as we started with AMDAL In-Home Care, which is one of the first non-medical in-home care providers here in San Luis Obispo, providing standard companion and personal care caregiving services for our seniors all throughout San Luis Obispo County. Fortunately, when I was able to get on board in 2014, we soon identified a transportation need within our own company for our wheelchair-bound clients. And soon we decided to provide wheelchair transportation throughout San Luis Obispo County. A lot of my referral sources had asked, Andrew, would you please consider non-emergency medical transportation? There is a huge need for not only wheelchair needs, but gurney transportation as well, because it's such a huge cost when the insurance doesn't cover gurney transportation. So I bring this up just because that is the foundation of AMDAL Transport Services, is that compassionate senior care that we had with AMDAL In-Home Care. AMDAL Transport Services incorporated into a separate company in 2015, and we are providing ambulatory, wheelchair, and gurney services all throughout the state of California. We have offices located in Atascadero, Santa Maria, Santa Barbara, and Tulare. So within that central hub, all within here of Central California, we've done everything from Stanford and all the way down to Los Angeles. By all means, this can be used for long-distance medical appointments, hospital discharges, facility-to-facility transportation, as well as personal needs. We've also been asked to kind of open this up for seniors and families who have transportation mobility issues. So for a date night, or taking it out for a wine run, or situations like that, we've been asked to kind of open up these services to them as well. Our drivers, the majority of our drivers are EMTs, although I do need to stress that it is a non-emergency medical transportation provider. Many times if we do have a transport that requires a nursing component, by all means, we have partners here in the community that we work with, and that would kind of be outsourced to them to accompany the family in the transport. We've also been asked to transport intrastate. In fact, just last week, we took a gentleman and his wife out to Phoenix to be relocated, and we've also transported up into Oregon as well. The vehicles that we're using are going to be 2015 or newer. We either use the Ford Transit, which is the big box gurney transport that we also use for our bariatric transport for the wheelchair, or we also have the Toyota Sienna minivan, which we have converted the inner kit for that, where the client can roll directly up into the van and be actually placed up by the rest of the participants in the vehicle. Every vehicle does offer up to 3 additional seats at no extra cost. This is to encourage family members, medical personnel, or even independent caregivers to be a part of the transfer. In some situations, one I can think of, we had a wedding reception, but the lady was wheelchair bound in Paso Robles. Not only how are we going to get her down to Santa Barbara, but also how are we going to accommodate her personal care needs that may occur during transport? Fortunately, being able to tap into our parent company, we had that caregiving aspect as well. So that's just another added bonus that we can put together with our services with that. This is a fee for service. We have been asked by the community to base this on an hourly rate. So as you can imagine, it's not just about mileage. This is not just a transport business. This is a people business. Our drivers are going to act as a personal assistant for our client for the full duration of the transport need. That's going to be everything from transferring from the wheelchair to the recliner, to the bed once they get home. It's going to be acting as a personal assistant during a medical appointment, never as a patient advocate, but definitely as perhaps a personal assistant taking notes, making sure that they pass on that crucial information onto the spouse or maybe the facility if needed, doing those incidental pharmacy runs on the way home. Those are all definitely part of the aspects that we want to provide, safely transferring the client into the home and making sure we address all of the ADL necessities that need to make sure that our clients are safe at home before we leave. Fortunately, this service really is a wide spectrum. It's not just a senior-related field. In fact, just this morning, I was talking with the Paso Robles School District as far as providing a backup transport for their handicapped students and whatnot. So that's another aspect that we're actually looking into. And then as well as for many of our memory care units that we have here in the county, sometimes when the residents have a change in medication, they need to be reassessed down in Newport Beach. Again, not necessarily behavioral health type situation, but as far as the Alzheimer's, dementia, things of that nature, our drivers are fully trained in all aspects of that as well. I kind of shot through all. Did you have any questions perhaps on any of our service?
I have a question. All right, good. Do you pick up at the airport?
Yes, we do, by all means. We've had many actual incidences to drive down to LAX. And even with all that extra room that the wheelchair would be in, perfect chance for the luggage. Wow. And as I stated, it's ambulatory, wheelchair, and gurney. So by all means, those transport options are wide encompassing.
Great.
Tap in the fact that you have that personal assistant with the driver. Almost any aspect of transport needs could be accommodated.
Wow. All right. Thank you.
What might it cost to go from SLO to LAX?
Well, it's going to be based for San Luis Obispo County, and sir, I'm guessing we're talking about a wheelchair transport or ambulatory transport?
Wheelchair.
I believe our current wheelchair transport rate is $95 an hour. Now, anytime we do go beyond the county, there is going to be an incidental cost just for the mileage and the gas incidental and whatnot. But when we charge, it's from pickup to drop-off. So that's important, too, that you consider that part of the cost. It is not from depot to depot or, you know, making the client pay for the full round transport. It's only going to be from the pickup to the drop-off. And, again, all local county will stay with that. There's no added mileage fee to that.
So how do people find out about you?
Well, fortunately, SLOCOG has been very gracious in adding us to their book, which I'm very grateful for. Thank you, Sarah. We're online. We're actually providing services for all 5 hospitals here on the Central Coast.
Okay.
I'm in the senior information guide that the Area on Aging is placing out, part of the Adult Service Policy Council that runs every month, and local advertising.
Good.
Hi.
Hello.
Excuse me. So, as Peter was having issues with drivers, I'm wondering how you're doing with yours, and I assume they're more specialized training involved with your drivers, and do they go through the regular Department of Transportation training? Are they randomly drug tested? How is that handled?
I believe we do not have that qualification because we're not a shuttle service. We're going to be a private service, so it's one client, one driver, one vehicle. As far as our training, as I stated earlier, the majority of our drivers are EMTs, but the training that we provide is the safe transferring, as well as all of our drivers are first aid and CPR certified. And then, of course, all of our vehicles are DOT approved, and as well as the CENCAL regulations that they had. That we had for that. Did that answer your question?
Yes. How, do you have any trouble getting staff?
Getting staff?
Yeah.
You know what? When we really start a brand new demographic, such as that we just opened up in Santa Barbara as well as Tulare, it's just that initial hiccup that just seems to happen. But fortunately, with our business, it's such a wide application of service. We've actually been pretty steady. So fortunately, a lot of our drivers are staying with us on the long term, which has been fortunate because we get to keep the good ones by all means.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you.
Very much. Very interesting.
Is your wife booked?
Oh. I was going to leave that for you.
Thank you. We also refer you. So.
Yes. I'm going to show you the senior information guide. It's something that every senior should have. You can find them at the senior centers. In there, there's a nice section on transportation. So it's one of those options that everyone has, and you can get some very good information and numbers to call. So the next presentation will be given by Ride On Transportation. Gigi Paquette will talk about some of the services they provide.
And I actually have a PowerPoint presentation. If I can get your buttons here. Thank you. So my name is Gigi Paquette. I work for Ride On Transportation. I'm here in place of Mark Schaefer this evening. He's our executive director. Something special. Who is Ride On? We are a nonprofit that was founded in San Luis Obispo County under the United Cerebral Palsy of San Luis Obispo County. We currently have a fleet of 102 vehicles, 60 direct service, and 42 dedicated for vanpool programs. We have 55 drivers, and we're currently serving the San Luis Obispo County and Santa Maria area. From 2017 to 2018, we provided 335,003 rides. The Consolidated Transportation Service Agency, CTSA. In 1987, we were designated the CTSA. We were CTSA designation. 1992, we expanded CTSA's role to social service transportation. In 1993, as a cooperative, began serving people with disabilities, Medi-Cal, and dialysis patients. In 1995, Transportation Management Association, or TMA, special events, providing community transportation with airport shuttles, vanpools, and event shuttles. We also provide transportation to and from the train station and bus depots. Teresa, thank you. Ride On CTSA, we provide door-to-door transportation for low-income passengers, people with disabilities, Medi-Cal recipients, dialysis patients, cancer patients, veterans, and seniors. Teresa. Ride On CTSA services. We support our community by providing assistance to social service agencies with vehicle maintenance services, vehicle acquisition, and preparing for CHP inspections, by advocating to improve transportation services, providing driver training classes through adult education programs, developing safety incentive programs, drug and alcohol testing initiatives for agencies, and providing public transportation planning for clients of social service agencies. Sorry, because I'm getting over a head cold and my throat's very dry. Social service rides. We have a senior shuttle, community interaction. Let me try that again. Community interaction program, CIP. What CIP is are the extracurricular activities for developmentally disabled adults who go to work and training programs. That is our tri-counties passengers. The CIP side of that is the after-hours special events that we provide transportation to those for, to those individuals for. We also provide Medi-Cal SenCal rides, which right now we actually do go through Ventura Transit with SenCal. Hearst Cancer Resource Center clients for clients who need transportation that are covered under the Hearst Cancer Resource Center billing program. I'm not exactly sure how the billing is handled for that, but we provide transportation for them at no out-of-cost pocket to them. Veterans Express, which we take to one of three locations in the county. The first one is to the Vet Center here in San Luis Obispo. Another is the Vet Center in Santa Maria. And the third is to catch the Vets shuttle from here to Los Angeles, which drops off at 801 Grand Avenue. Access service, which are transportation services to low-income individuals in the county, they get two round-trip rides per month right now. Agricultural personnel van pools, which are our farm workers who work very hard to do what needs to be done here in the county, and they are allocated through SARC van pools, or van pool vans. Dialysis patients as well. Teresa? Senior services. Seniors can call Ride-On Transportation Ride-On for transportation information. I'm glad that you showed us this senior information guide. Those are also located at your local libraries, and that's one of the information resources that we provide to clients when they call in. Also, travel training programs for seniors who can use public transportation operated by Slow Rideshare. Senior shuttles for seniors who cannot use public transit. Sorry. And senior volunteer driver programs for seniors who cannot use door-to-door transportation service. Right now, that volunteer service is actually, it's the Wilshire Good Neighbor program. And that's one of the services that we let our, you know, the people who call in for our services know. If for whatever reason we're unable to either accommodate a ride for that day, we let them know of other services in the area that might be able to accommodate them. Teresa? Future of senior shuttles. SLOCOG took $250,000 from Ride-On Senior Shuttle to fund Senior Go, a senior shuttle operated by Ventura Transit System. Senior Go's fares are from $250 to $10 each way. Ventura Transit System requires 48 hours advanced scheduling. Ride-On Senior Rides are $3 each way, and riders can buy a book of 10 coupons for $30. The funding cut has caused us to refer riders to Senior Go at a potential cost, a higher cost to those consumers. That's one of the things that recently we've had to cut our transportation options down to 20 miles from pickup to drop off. Because at this point we're paying out of pocket for those rides, and not only paying out of pocket, we're losing money in order to provide transportation services to the community. We are a nonprofit, so we are not making any money on any of this information or these services anyhow. All of our services, all the funds that come in from the services or grants go to the UCP program, which is the United Cerebral Palsy of SLO. So one of the biggest concerns that I've had working in the office is that it's difficult to tell some of our passengers that unfortunately we have to cut our services that are now available to you because of the funding issue. So are there any questions for me? Yay, I made it.
Amy?
I do have a quick question. If you could talk a little bit more about the agricultural worker van pool service, sort of the costs associated, how someone can go about coordinating that.
So what happens is, I'm not even sure what SARC stands for. I literally just transferred at the beginning of February from being a dispatcher to, as I was discussing earlier, to the TMA, and that's part of the events coordination. The van pools actually fall under that TMA umbrella. I'm not sure of the cost. I know, I believe it's covered by SARC, which has their own separate funding. It's kind of like a few years ago when they did the, what's it called? The solar farms. The solar farms was a separate grant that covered transportation for those employees that needed to go out and work on those farms, as opposed to, it's way out in California Valley, as opposed to them having to drive their own vehicles. It's kind of that same thing. I don't know what the costs are, but if you'd like to call our office, we'd be happy to get you more information on that. I think that would be excellent.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else? Thank you all for having
me. Questions. Okay, any other questions for any of our presenters? Okay, go on, next.
I'll even leave your remote.
Okay, our next presentation will be from the Ventura Transit Company. We have David Becerra, is the general manager, and Bobby, I'm not sure how to pronounce your last name, but... Don't even try. But thank you. Thank you.
Doesn't matter. Hi, good evening, Commission members. My name is David Becerra. I am the general manager for Ventura Transit System. Usually what I do is that I take care of the Sankel account. What we do here at VTS is that we coordinate the benefit for Sankel. As you know, a few years back, there was a law that passed that gave NEMT and NMT, which is non-emergency medical transportation and non-medical transportation, to Medi-Cal beneficiaries. This translates to SanCal being the Medi-Cal providers here within San Luis Obispo, provide the transportation to these Medi-Cal beneficiaries. On average, we do about 16,000 rides per month. That includes NEMT and NMT. The non-emergency medical transportation, if you're a SanCal member, all you really have to do is just basically call the 1-800 number that's provided in the member handbook. And at there, we ask a series of questions, and depending on the questions that we do, we'll go right ahead and refer them either to SanCal or to their doctor, so we can go ahead and get some kind of authorization. And from there, we provide the ride. Again, this is no cost to SanCal members. This is something that's been funded by the state of California as well with SanCal. Some of the requirements is that they call us at least at 48 hours before their doctor's appointment. The main differences here are the NEMT, which is non-emergency medical transportation. Usually if it's a person that has a physical, doesn't have the physical capability or anything of the nature that's wheelchair bound or gurney bound, we provide the rides within those so forth. For NEMT, which is non-medical transportation, is usually just for doctor's appointment, dentist appointments, mental health, behavioral health, and so forth. This is a pretty straightforward program. What it is that if they need a ride and if they qualify for the ride, if they meet those requirements, either if they don't have a driver's license or they don't have a way to get to their doctor's appointment, or if they're wheelchair bound, gurney bound, whatever the case may be, and if we have the appropriate turnaround times, we'll go right ahead and provide the rides. We don't exclusively just provide the rides. We coordinate the rides oftentimes. As I mentioned, with Ride On, we have a lot of agreements with a lot of these folks that you see here to provide those particular rides as well. So we do have vested interest in the community with other partnerships that we do have here. Do you want to add anything here?
Ventura Transit as a whole, it goes back almost 35 years. Being in business. Why we were selected as a broker for SanCal was back in 2012, beginning of 2013, we were the contractor with Gold Coast Health Plan in Ventura County. So we do the very similar thing for Gold Coast as we do with SanCal. As David said, we have very good relationship with your local operators. Gentlemen from Amdel was here. We have a contract with them where they provide the gurney services for us. Same thing with Ride On Transportation, where they do daily pickups for us and throughout the county. Ventura Transit, along with providing medical transportation, for the last decade plus, been in this community servicing everything from taxi cabs under the name of yellow cabs and 234 taxi. Later on, we started providing an airport transportation service in this community under the name of Smart Shuttle. Robert, you asked about airport pickups. That's what we do for many years. Just a brief background on Ventura Transit. But we are here to answer questions, concerns that you may have so we can clarify whatever we can for you.
So did I understand you to say that the CenCal patient calls and then you have to get the authorization from the physician's office?
Correct, or CenCal. It really just depends on the series of questions that we ask, which are very straightforward, either if you're in a wheelchair, if you have an oxygen tank, so forth. That way we can determine the type of ride that they're asking for. When you have an EMT, you need to have the type of vehicle that you need. It's a wheelchair-bound vehicle, opposed to just a regular sedan or so forth, that we could provide the trip for. So those are the series of questions that we do ask. But there's that process and so forth. There is a turnaround time, usually, which is 48 hours. It's justifiable. As soon as they get a doctor's appointment, we highly advise them to give us a call, so we go ahead and get that set out right away. On average, I mentioned, we do about 16,000 rides per month. It could be a handful sometimes, so it's easier for us to coordinate those benefits the sooner they give us the call.
So if I'm a patient in Paso and my primary care has referred me to a consultant in San Luis, so where do your vehicles come from, number one? Are you in each community or are you?
We have local. So the way we structure this we try to give as much as possible the trips to our providers, such as Ride On in this community, or in okay. Santa Maria, we work with a company called Smooth Transportation. Mm-hmm. For the south, in Santa Barbara, we work with Easy Lift. But we also have our own fleet. As a broker, we are responsible to make sure the members get the transportation. So if through the conflict of any of our providers, they are not able to provide that trip, we use our own vehicles, our own drivers, which are gone through the inspections and qualifications to make sure they are able to. So to answer your question, if you have pickups in Paso Robles, those pickups are scheduled in advance from at least 24 hours in advance, where they could be, they are garaged right here locally in San Luis Obispo off of Tank Farm Road, but then the drivers, based on their schedule for the next day, their routes are preset, so if their first pickup is in Paso Robles, that driver would be there at that specific time to pick up the member and take him from Paso Robles to wherever the destination is. It could be local in North County, or it could be coming south to five cities or San Luis Obispo.
So then, in coordinating the pre-authorization, does CenCal do that? Or when they call you for the ride and you tell them it has to be pre-authorized, do you coordinate that?
We coordinate everything with CenCal. CenCal is ultimately the person that authorizes the call, okay. the trips. And it's a screening process. It's just pretty much getting an authorization from the doctor. Just like the example that you gave, if the doctor already said, you need to get to point A to point B, and you're wheelchair bound, then that's good enough so we could go ahead and set up the appointments.
Okay. Anybody else have any other question? Commissioner Gamble, go ahead.
Do you need a doctor's approval for every single trip?
No, we do not.
Are you saying you're flexible?
What we do is we'll go ahead and just follow usually CenCal's guidelines through it.
Okay.
That's the prescription we follow throughout. And it just really depends on the type of vehicle or the type of service as it is, so we could go ahead and coordinate the trips. But we do have large amount of resources. Like I mentioned, in this case, we have Ride On and Young, Smooth, and our own fleet that will be able to help us do these transportation services as well.
Okay.
So you're the vendor for CenCal. Do you do any transport for other people that might need that kind of service?
So in this community, San Luis Obispo, we are the contractor for the 5-city senior shuttle. That service is Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. So we have drivers and vehicles that are for that service. We do have the contract for Senior Go, where we have similar. We just have drivers and vehicles that are designed for that contract. As a mixture of different services that we provide, we do have a good size fleet with a large number of drivers that are not only assigned or dedicated to one service. They are trained in such a way and they are certified in such a way where they could help us with different types of clientele. So that's the mixture that we have.
And the last question is, how do you handle no-shows, which is, can you know, they make an assignment, they make a reservation, and then they don't follow through?
Well, usually what we do with a lot of these no-shows, what we'll do is I will just basically report it back to the plan and educate the member. We'll have SynCal educate the member on the no-shows.
Does the caregiver go with the, I mean, do you transport the caregiver also?
Yes, caregivers do go. It's the member and the, someone else, usually.
Not the entire family, though.
Thank you for this information. I do have a quick question about how SynCal members are finding out about the transportation options. Is that discussed at their doctor's visit?
Yes, there's actually many different venues, but the way that they could find out, this has been a service that they've been giving out for a very long time, such as with Ride-On. It's been expanded to provide the non-medical transportation into it. It's in their members' handbooks. It's on their phone calls. It's all throughout on their benefits. But yes, SynCal members are perfectly aware of it. Mm-hmm. When this project went live or when this new benefit went live, letters got sent out to each household member to let him know about the benefits as well. It is a growing benefit. It's we've been getting more, providing more rides, rightfully so. So more and more people are finding out about this as well.
And for the rides themselves, both booking the appointments and the drivers, are there some interpretation or translation services available?
Yes.
Okay.
They are available. Usually we do have qualified staff on when they take the calls that are bilingual. Given that Spanish is the threshold language here, that's what we need to provide. But in addition to that, SynCal also provides translation services. So if there's somebody else that does not either speak Spanish or English, we can easily tap onto those translation services online and provide that communication to the member.
Great. Thank you.
Well, again, thank you. We have a lot of services that are available. We may need to do a better job of letting people know about them, but I think the senior guide is certainly a step in that direction. And I know most of the providers that take SynCal, they have posters and things in their offices as well. Dr. Campbell, Commissioner Campbell, go ahead.
This is really an amazing array of services we've heard tonight. It's quite gratifying. I'm curious if any of the presenters or maybe any of the folks up here have any estimate of the number of citizens in the county who are dependent on these services. What portion of our population needs this?
It's a great question. Honestly, I'm not sure.
Might be a census question, huh?
I'm not even sure how many residents there are in the county, but it exceeds our county as well, like Ventura Transit. You know, they provide services to Santa Maria and Santa Barbara. It's even beyond just our county, so that's a great question. I'm not even sure how many citizens are in the area, regardless of, you know, what services are provided to the portion that we provide services to. So,
yeah, the population of the county is, what, 330,000, something of that magnitude, maybe a little higher. But that's an awful lot of rides we heard about today.
As for SynCal, between both counties, Santa Barbara as well as San Luis, the population is close to 180,000 members that are qualified to take advantage of these services.
If I may, I don't have any specific numbers, but in general, especially here in California, we are having an aging population. The baby boomers are getting older and retiring. So in something like the services, I would say you can expect probably growth. Yeah, it's not going to be shrinking for a while. Especially, like, and again, you know, I don't have any, the CPGO shuttle program has only been around a short time. We don't have any statistics, but I'm just going by what, you know, general news information. And as I said, when SLOCOG started advertising it more, there was I don't have any numbers, but there was an uptake in calls, so I know the services are out there, the people are out there to take advantage of the service.
And they're being utilized more.
Yeah.
Maybe we can have our super duper numbers person, Ann McDowell, take this on.
I have a suggestion, Sarah. I mean, you know, working with the transportation people, do you have that statistic handy?
Why don't we go sit down?
Well, yes, I do. Sarah Woolsey, SLOCOG staff. So yes, we do have that statistic available. I promise that I will email it to you. But I don't have it. I was just looking on my phone. It's not readily accessible at this moment. I wasn't planning on speaking for this matter. But yes, in terms of our population, I think that is like specifically transit dependent is what you're talking about. There's both unmet needs, and prior to unmet needs, we do something called a transit needs assessment that looks at the area of the population that is both doesn't have a car or doesn't live within a quarter mile of a transit stop, because if you live more than a quarter mile of a transit stop, you're likely not going to walk to the bus stop. Anyway, so yes, I will get that information to all of you health commissioners.
And before you leave, can you tell us a little bit about 511? I think it's a wonderful benefit that we have in our county.
Absolutely. So 511 typically throughout the country, 511 is traveler information. It's not always as specialized as what we do here in our county, which is if you get press enough of the, you know, I think it takes 1 minute to get to Peter, actually, if you time it. But you'll call 511 and it will ask you, are you looking for traffic information? Are you looking for transportation options? Are you looking for commute information? All of that is accessible by calling 511. So it's automated only to the point where, like, you need to get where you need to go, like, for the right person to talk to. Other than that, it's meant to provide you with all the transportation information you need. One of our goals is we do have advertising in random parts of our county. If you've ever looked, like if you're coming up Price Canyon, there's a call 511 for rideshare information. We're working on the right words to really relay what 511 is in a short sign that could be seen on the side of the road or in other areas of the county as well. So, do you guys have any other questions for me?
And a follow-up question. It's an amazing array of services. I've just been astounded hearing this. Are there any gaps that any of you would want to point out that need addressing?
So we just ran our unmet needs process. So there's something called an unmet transit needs process, which is specifically more for transit than like larger gaps in overall service. And specifically for transit, there's only one unmet transit need that fell into something that can actually be solved, and it's a stop out on Buckley Road. Right now, transit doesn't really get out there. There's a assessment process to whether that's a viable option with cost and, you know, ongoing cost of that sort of service, and how many people are actually going to use it. But in terms of other unmet needs, there's a wide variety of services, and I think if you were to talk to the general population, it would be like what Mary Jean Sage said, which is that there's a lot of advertising to be done for these services. And I think a lot of people don't know about, not enough people know about them, because you, through, I work at the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. I started as a, called what was called the Rideshare Program Coordinator. So I coordinated a lot of the programs. My new title is the Mobility Planning and Programs Lead. So now I'm all of the programs that you see within both the Know How to Go Guide and the Slow Senior Go Guide, making sure that they all fit together, talk to each other, and aren't duplicative. So that's my current job, and like I said, there's a lot of advertising to be done, and just that I think people need to know more about them, because when I do outreach for these events, and when we were creating Senior Go, we went out to a lot of the senior centers. We went and to some of, I've seen your name in people's self-help housing. Yeah. And we went to some people's self-help housing properties as well. And you go out to talk to individuals that live in Templeton, and they don't always know about the services that are available to them. When you ask them how they want to know about them, they might tell you that they want their information in their laundry room. So I have been working with people self-help housing to get their information to them in their laundry room, because a lot of times we can put advertisements in different newspapers, but that doesn't mean that they're read. Gosh, I can't think of any other like interesting ones where people just want their information exactly to them, but if you want to put them on an emailing list, they don't want to give you their email, so your hands get tied, but we're doing the best that we can. So if you ever have any, if you ever need people to get information to a specific person, let me know, because I'm working on it.
where do you distribute these?
We distribute them to Ventura Transit, we distribute them to Ride-On, we distribute them to People Self-Help Housing, HASLO, Department of Social Services, you name it, I try to get them out. We do need to go through, a reprint right now. It was one of those things where you do the Know How to Go Guide, and then I wrote the seniors, the transportation section of the Slow Senior Guide, and that's the most up-to-date information at this moment.
You're welcome. So the laundry room reminds me of something. You know, a lot of grocery stores, and I know the place where I go to get my, I have my mailbox for my business, there's a big old bulletin board, and there's all kinds of flyers. It's talk about services or whatever. That'd be a great place to,
yep,
to put it too.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
And if we all know more about it and do what we can, Catherine and then Amy.
Yes. One of the things that we really kind of didn't talk about much, and it might be the reason that seniors would be apprehensive, has to do with their own personal safety. And as you're looking at advertising and explaining your services or the services for that have been discussed tonight, maybe talk a little bit about the safety component that would maybe put seniors at ease when they're trusting someone with their transportation needs.
Was that a question? Okay, note taken.
That's great to hear that you're working with People Self-Help Housing. I think I was going to suggest something like of that nature, putting things in laundry rooms and so forth. I was also going to suggest, if you're not already working with the food bank, they often put flyers in their perishable and non-perishable food distributions and farmers markets. They have senior-specific farmers markets that they go out and have throughout the county. If you're not already tapping into that, that would be great.
That's excellent. Thank you.
Put that on your iPhone, Sarah. I know you use it all the time for all kinds of things. All right. Again, thank you all. This was a wonderful program. We appreciate it. And maybe think about coming back to see us again in the near future and give us an update on what your numbers are, new services that you've added, and what have you. So again, thank you all. So we will now move on to our public health report, and this evening we have Dr. Rosen with us. Go ahead, Rick.
Thank you. My name is Rick Rosen. I'm the Deputy Health Officer for the Public Health Department. I'm filling in for Penny this evening while she's away this week. So last week was a fairly active week for the Public Health Department in terms of outreach. As some of you may know, it was National Public Health Week. So for the second consecutive year, the Public Health Department had a presence at the farmers market on Thursday night. A few of the things that we did was distribute naloxone kits for emergency use in the event of opioid overdose. We were providing free dental screenings, and there was also a Jeopardy game going on related to sexually transmitted infections. Probably the nicest the nicest aspect was that there were about 20 undergrads from Cal Poly representing the distance running club and the public health club, and they brought a lot of positive energy to the event and helped pull in more people. And apparently I was told a conga line broke out at one point. In addition, Dr. Beebe gave a public tour of the public health lab, which is not a terribly common occurrence, but he does have an open invitation out to any folks from the public who would like to check out the public health lab. The tour takes about 30 minutes. He took me on it, and it's fun. And essentially, if a group of eight wants to get together, they can contact Dr. James Beebe, and he will arrange to take folks on a tour. Another significant outreach event that happened on Tuesday of last week was we had a demonstration of our virtual dental home program that occurred at Grover Beach Elementary School. That's a program that started in February in three schools in the Lucia Marr School District, and the plan is expand to three more schools this year. Currently, the virtual dental home program has helped about 10% of the students at each school that is participating, with a goal of approximately 20%. For each of the participating schools. For many of the kids that have participated in this program, it's been their first experience with professional dental care. To give you a sense of what this means, the dental hygienist goes on site to the various schools and takes high definition pictures and dental x-rays using a portable x-ray machine. The images are then sent to Dr. Don Tran, who is the dentist working with the program. And the dentist determines if the child needs more complex care, and if so, an appointment is made with a very short time interval between initial evaluation and appointment. In addition, the oral health program hopes to expand this going forward and hopefully add one or more dentists. And as background, only about 45% of children in the county who have DentaCal see a dentist. So it's a really a needed service. And looking ahead, one I think exciting and somewhat forward-looking program that is coming up is that the Tobacco Control Program is launching a new course targeting high school students to try to get them or to help them quit vaping. It's actually the Public Health Bulletin, which you all should have received, has a little section on vaping in our county on the second page. And unfortunately, a little over one out of every five 11th graders in the county has vaped. the course lasts 6 weeks, and it's scheduled to start on April 17th. And that's it.
So where is that course going to be?
Good question. Okay. I try to find out. I believe it's in Grover Beach, which is the it's where the tobacco control program has its busiest course targeting adults. So I suspect it's going to be in the same location.
Okay. Amy, do you go to Tobacco Coalition?
Yes.
Is that okay? All right. Yeah. Good. I'm glad to hear that. I think our Tobacco Coalition is actually very active, and they've been doing a good job. I know I went with Nassim to Pismo Beach to get public comment when they expanded their smoking regulation policy or whatever. It was a long night. We were the last thing on the agenda, but we stuck it out there anyway. And then I was at the virtual dental presentation. Dr. Bornstein was there also, and she did some remarks. They pulled some kids in from the after-school program and showed them the equipment. None of them had gone through it yet or whatever, but it's a really outstanding program. And as I recall, for those of us who've been on the commission for a while, we wrote a letter of support when they did the first grant or were applying for the grant to ask for that money. And I think there were only maybe seven applications, and we're one of four that actually got accepted. And I think one of them is up in San Francisco and two are in LA. So for us here in this county to get it, it's very forward thinking and what have you. We should be very proud of ourselves. So it's a great program. So good. Anybody else have any questions for Dr. Rosen?
I do. I don't know. Is that okay?
Sure, you can step up. And
sorry, I'm not sure how this works.
Thank you. Is that a mandatory program that's going to be required for high school students? The
vaping
program? Cessation program?
No.
I was just curious.
Maybe should be, but no,
right.
Not at this point, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, the numbers are just astronomical, you know, with kids and vaping now. So it's our newest crisis.
Maybe it's a pilot project so that we can use this and then do it within all the schools. That would be a good goal, I think.
All right. Again, thank you. So let's move on to commissioner updates. Lisa, do you have anything?
I do not. Thank you.
Commissioner Campbell? Dust?
I have the same old update,
okay.
But I've updated it. So and you've probably seen there's been a fair amount in the Tribune lately about the draft proposal to control the dust out of the dunes. It was submitted the first of this month, and it has a tentative approval by the Air Pollution Control Officer, Gary Willey. It will be presented to the public May 1st for further comment and also for probable revision by the Scientific Advisory Group. I spoke with Gary today, see if there's any update on that. As I guess we could have predicted, there's now a lawsuit filed by the Friends of the Dunes with the Coastal Commission about the proposed restoration of the four dunes. So those are the dunes closest to the water that Gary and the other pollution control folks feel are it's the most important piece of the whole project. If necessary, the hearing board can simply require the state parks to just close that area off. So there's no project that would need an approval by the Coastal Commission. And Gary is prepared to force that if he needs to. The The new proposal is encouraging. It's very thorough. One thing that stands out that's a little concerning is the issue of whether the dust blowing inland is really originating off the ocean. It's kind of a far out scenario, and all the evidence suggests that it's simply a distraction and maybe a drag on resources. And in my personal opinion, it's nonsense. So hopefully by next meeting, we may have an update. It may take until June.
Good. Thanks for continuing to follow that. Commissioner Raymond?
I attended the Adult Services Policy Council meeting last Friday, and actually the speaker was Teresa Scott from SynCal, and SynCal is the person or the agency that covers San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara County in Medi-Cal, but SynCal, and it's managed care. So it's one of those things that, you know, it's kind of what she called a full wraparound services for our Medi-Cal patients in this area. She talked about transportation and how they came to be using the Venturas service transit people. And anyway, it was just interesting to see how they, you can actually go online. If anyone's interested, you can go to their website and look at their annual report. They have links that'll tell you exactly what kind of services they provide, numbers, and what they're looking to accomplish, goals and things like that. So it was very interesting. And I don't know when the last time we had SynCal Health here to talk about what they do in our community, but it's a pretty large population that we serve.
Amy?
I do not, but I will be attending those next month.
Okay. And Amy is going to take on Healthy Communities Work Group as part of her assignment, if you will. Okay. Catherine?
Okay. busy month. So I attend on March 27th, I attended the Suicide Prevention Council. We had reports by the Sierra Mental Health Wellness. We got an update on the Crisis Intervention Unit and on the mental health evaluators who are available 24/7. Alyssa Hendry, who was here last month, she's working on a strategic plan and actually is inviting us to start that process in April at our next meeting. excuse me, on April 2nd, I attended the Children's Oral Health Coalition, and we did hear a lot about the virtual dental home program, and fortunately I did not get a chance to go see it. We did hear about Smile California, and I talked to them about perhaps coming out sometime and talking to us about that, okay. Maybe when we do our next strategy session. Put them
sure,
on the list.
That would be good.
Okay.
And did you mention that you're the chair of
no.
that?
No.
Okay. Catherine is elected yeah. to lead the pack with that group now.
Yeah, that's a
it's
very
a good
enthusiastic
congratulations.
Thank
group.
You. Yeah.
All right. So I did the virtual dental opening or whatever. KSBY was actually there, and I did see it. They had a spot on both their 6 o'clock, and I think it was their 10 or 11 or that later when most of us don't stay up to watch that. But we had a nice array of community leaders, and like I say, the kids were really enthusiastic. That equipment is phenomenal. It's like this big old gun thing that, you know, they put, but they were excited about sitting in the chair and taking a look, and they loved being able to see inside their mouth on the computer and what have you. So it was exciting to see everybody there. The Preventive Health Grant Community-Based Organization Committee has finished their work. Catherine attended with me this year. We are making recommendations to the Board of Supervisors, which will come before them during the budget hearings in June. We had 62 requests, totaling a little over $2 million. We are recommending 20 projects receive funds
for approximately $348,000 out of the public or the preventive health grant, and then 49 projects receiving funds out of the CBO funding, and a little over $1 million on that one. So good. And that's all I have for this evening. How about our standing committee reports? I don't think we have anything for budget legislatively. I think I've forwarded a few things to you. We have a couple soda tax issues that are going to be coming before our legislation. If we can kind of keep an eye on that and see if there's something that we should do to support some of those, that would be wonderful. And did you tell me, Amy, People Self-Help is going to support the soda tax issue?
We are putting in a resolution of support for the trust.
Okay. Oh, for the trust. Okay, mm-hmm. Good. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the trust. We hope we will have that as a program coming
Absolutely.
Up soon. Okay. Nominating committee. Commissioner Riemann.
Yes, the nominating committee met, and we interviewed, and we met Ginger Cochran. When we make a recommendation for the appointment of Ginger Cochran, the consumer, to the County Health Commission, pending final approval from the County Board of Supervisors.
Okay, so I think we have enough people here to vote, right? We got 6, and we have 11. Do you want to tell us just a little bit about Ginger? She's a dietitian here in the county. I remember that.
Right.
And I think she's a lifelong resident of San Luis County.
Right.
Also,
she went to school here, graduated from high school, and she's been doing a lot of work and research, and she's back in the area, has worked for several agencies, but she wants to really participate, and since dental health and nutrition is very important, that's a good thing.
Didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So we have a recommendation before us. Any other discussion that you want to do for it? I think I need to have a second to that recommendation.
I'll second.
Okay. All right. Now, no further discussion. I think you can do a voice vote for this. All of those in favor of the recommendation to seat Ginger Cochran as a commissioner, please say aye.
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 Those opposed? All right. So, Teresa, you'll do whatever needs to do to go to the Board of Supervisors, and maybe by next month we can have her seated. And at that point, we will have a full commission.
Right. And I just want to thank Amy for joining us. Welcome.
Oh, yes.
Thank you very much.
All right. Anybody have any items they want to talk about tonight for further meetings? I think next month our scheduled topic is health information. Okay. And then June, we haven't finalized yet, but if anybody has suggestions, please let us hear. Yes, Commissioner Campbell.
Well, I'm going to be away for the next meeting, so I won't get to hear about my favorite issue for physicians, which is electronic medical records. Mm-hmm. And it's probably fortunate that I won't be here.
You can always watch it.
Yes, you can always watch it.
Just one caution. They're a very mixed bag, and it sounds like something the county really needs to do, and I support that. I would ask that you make an effort to limit the record completion that providers will end up doing at home after they finish their long day. I think the vast majority of physicians have found that they were promised that, yeah, you'll be on your way home by 5:30, you'll be through with your last patient, but all of your charts need to be cleaned up and filled up, and that seems to be a universal problem. So I hope you'll keep that in mind with your county employees and whoever else is using them.
Okay.
information. Well, we're going to, Nick Drew, I think, is coming to talk about health information exchange. And you're right, it is a mixed bag. I have clients who actually love that aspect of it because they can go home and then finish their day rather than being there. But I'm sure there are issues on both sides of that. And at the disaster, the county disaster planning meeting, which I forgot to say that I did go to this month, we had a presentation on cybersecurity, which is pretty darn scary. Good. All right. With that, I think we'll be adjourned for this evening. Thank you all.